Right, tonight we're going to be all over the Bible, but I want to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and I'll be reading verses all over. You don't need to turn to all of them unless you'd like to, but I want to get jump right in because I have a lot of verses. It'll be more of a Bible study than a sermon, I think. And I'm going to start off with just a couple verses in 1 Corinthians 13, and then we'll be all over Old and New Testament, and so you can listen along, read along, whichever you'd like. I want to talk tonight about always hopeful. Always hopeful. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, start at verse 12. And now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as I also am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Let's go ahead and pray. I want to talk about always hopeful. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the word of God. What great things. Just thinking of 1 Corinthians 13, we just read out of the great chapter of love in the Bible. And there's so much in the word of God. And we're so honored that we have a copy and that we get to hear your words. Thank you. We're around some real Christians who are serious about you and love you and want to be great Christians. And Lord, we have that desire because it's you that works in us, both to will and to do of your good pleasure. But we are weak in the flesh, Lord, and we need strength, we need knowledge, we need how-to, and we also need our minds right. And I pray you'd help us to have that, and I pray you'd please speak in a powerful way. Cleanse me, work through me, Father. Don't let me and my humanity and my lack of being everything I should be stop your word from doing mighty things, Father. We thank you. The word of God is quick and powerful. And we pray tonight that the two-edged sword would be working in our midst, and we would hear from you. Thank you for the privilege. Thank you for the truth. Thank you for everyone who's here. Lord, this is a special group of people. This is a special night. It only happens once. So please do a mighty work, you pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Get my water real quick. People are optimists or pessimists or a little of both to different levels. Tonight I want to talk about the word hope and relate it to our lives and the way we think. I think our minds always need to be renewed, the Bible says, and we need to have that. We see three things are left. Everything in the Christian life falls underneath one of three things that we need to be doing and live and have as attributes. Faith, hope, and charity, these three. Verse 13. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Charity, of course, is the Bible word for love and for the agape, unconditional love. And we know what love is. We hear a lot about it, and it's preached about a lot. And as we know a lot about faith and what faith is, not that we do perfectly at it. We struggle at it, but we know what love and faith is. We hear it preached oftentimes. But the other one of those three that's not talked about much is hope. And in order to define hope, I have to help you understand and always emphasize this because the Bible uses the word hope, but it uses it much stronger than we use it. We hope is a, I want this to happen. I hope it happens. I hope my team wins. I hope that this goes this way. That's not what the Bible means when it says hope. It's a much stronger word, both in the Greek and in the English, how it's used in the Bible. And the word hope in the Bible, it means an expectation and desire of future good. An expectation and desire of future good. It means you're expecting this to happen. It's like you set your wedding day, and a Bible word would be, say, I am full of hope for my wedding day. It's not you hope your wedding day happens, okay? It's I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited about that. I am looking forward to my paycheck. I am expectant. I am looking forward to that. It's an expectation and desire of future good. It's knowing something good's coming, and it's the feeling of I am excited about this. I'm looking forward to this. I'm secure because of this, and that's what hope is. The Bible teaches that it is an important and necessary thing. It says here, it says now about a faith, hope, and charity. It's along those lines. We understand charity is the greatest, but it's along the lines of faith, which without faith, it's impossible to please God. And the greatest of these is charity. It's in that same sentence. So it's very important that we have that earnest expectation, that hopeful desire and looking forward to and to something that's coming, to the expectation of a future good that's coming for sure. And so it's very necessary. Let me read you some verses out of Psalms. And I'm going to read Psalm 27. Again, I read a lot of verses. And if you want to listen along or follow along, it'll be a lot of places in the Bible, different places. So Psalm 27, verse 13 says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait in the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, in the Lord. He says here, I had fainted. The word faint means quit. I would have not gone on, except I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now, I could take it to Ezekiel and some other spots where it teaches on somebody who loses their hope. And when you lose your hope, you lose your strength in the Bible. And you don't want to go on. If tonight, suddenly, you just found out the rest of your life was going to be terrible, nothing is ever going to go right, your job is always going to go wrong, your health is always going to go wrong, your relationships are always going to go wrong, everything in your life, and you just knew it for the rest of your life, your hope would disappear. And your strength would eventually dissipate because you'd have no expectation. A hope deferred maketh the heart sick, the Bible says. And here it says, I had fainted unless I thought I'd see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Okay? So we need hope. Hope gives us strength. Hope gives us future. Sometimes somebody suddenly kind of folds and buckles and gets very discouraged. And they say, I'll just never be a good Christian. And they lose their hope of having victory. And they do not want to keep trying at that point. Because they do not think it's ever going to happen. And when you lose your hope, you lose your strength. You don't try anymore. We have players trying to make a team, and if it says, you know, I'll never make this team, he quits trying. Because he just has no hope in that. And so when you lose your hope, it's so important. It's very necessary. Number two, the Lord asks for you to have it before you do great things. We're in Psalm 31, and then I'll read you Joshua a little bit. Psalm 31, verse 24, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Now, God says, I'm going to give you courage. You be of good courage, hope in the Lord, and God will strengthen you. And so he strengthens those who have hope. Hope comes along with strength, and you've got to have it. The Lord asks for it before you do any great work. He says it this way to Joshua, and in Joshua, the famous Joshua chapter 1. I'm just laying the foundation a little bit. Here's how he tells Joshua before he's going to go in to fight the giants in the promised land. Have not I commanded thee, verse 9, be strong and be of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. So he says, hey, don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed. Don't let your heart fail you. Have hope. I'm with you. And so you need that if you're going to go do big things for God. Number three, the Bible is filled with people getting victory with hope in God. Now, which story to tell? I just put in there the story we read this morning about Moses. And they're standing there between the rock and the hard place. There's the Red Sea, and here's Pharaoh behind them, and they're kind of surrounded, and they have nowhere else to go, and they can't go anywhere. And the people lose hope. And said, you brought us here to die, and they began to wail and cry, but Moses did not. And Moses said, hey, stand still and see the salvation of God. And the pillar went around behind them and got between them and Pharaoh and them. And Moses put his rod up and they parted the Red Sea, and they went across the Red Sea on dry ground. But if Moses would have joined them in complete sorrow and loss of hope, loss of hope makes you give up and you don't try. But Moses had hope in God still. And David had hope in God. He told Goliath, I'm going to kill you. God's going to give me the strength to do this. Why? He knew. He had the expectation of the good thing, that God was going to do this work, and that God had already showed him that he could do that thing. In other words, without hope, you don't do great works, because you do not have the faith without hope. If you do not believe God, you won't step out to do great things. And you will not believe that can happen. This is a constant thing I see with churches, pastors, and Christians all the time, is they do not believe, they have no hope, no expectation of something great happening, no expectation of future blessings, and so they stay in their cocoon of doing little, and staying in the natural and not living in the supernatural, and seeing God do great things, because they're not hopeful. And there's a lot of reasons you don't have hope, and we'll touch that a little bit. Hope is another word almost for what we would call optimism. Optimism because the Lord, because you could believe God's going to do something. Hope is not just positive thinking, though. I want to get to that. Psychology, talk about the power of positive thinking. Listen, positive thinking by itself is not hope and doesn't work the same. You can say, I'm going to bench press that 400 pounds right there. I'm going to think positively. I'm going to think positively. And you try to bench press it and it crushes your chest. Because you psyched yourself up and you're positive thinking, but it wasn't real. I've met so many people who try to think positive things about themselves, but actually it's time for repentance. And they need to say, you know what? I'm not a great person. I'm doing wickedly. I'm suffering for it. I'm going to quit telling myself I'm a great person. I'm going to admit, you know what? I'm messing around. I'm doing wrong. I'm going to confess it and get it right. But they tell themselves they're good. They tell themselves they're a good person. They psych themselves up. They pump themselves up. That is not hope. Positive thinking is not real. Okay? But hope, that optimism, because of the Lord, is real. Let me show you some verses. Proverbs chapter 10. Because if you're not serving the Lord, you have no hope. And we'll give you some verses on that, but I'm going to read Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 28 says this, "The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish." It's pretty clear. Chapter 11 and verse 7, it says, "When a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish, and the hope of the unjust man perisheth." Understand, as it says in 1 Corinthians 15, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. So somebody might live for this world, and they might live for all the pleasures of this world, but understand, all of their hope is gone at death. And the godly, they're entering into their hope. And it's not just because somebody thinks positively that they have hope. They just have positive thinking. They just have something temporary to look at and enjoy. But it does not mean they have real, abiding, deep hope. The expectation that the future is bright. I have God. I'm going to heaven. And all those things that bring the hope in your life. I'm going to read you another verse in Romans chapter 15. Again, a lot of verses here. And to get this concept down. And Romans 15. In verse 13, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." He's called the God of hope, and the Holy Ghost gives us hope. And the Holy Spirit brings many things to our mind that are restful. He brings joy and peace and long suffering and hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. So we need to understand hope comes from the God of hope. There are many things that are unstable in life. There's many things you can't count on being great, but you can count on the God of hope to give you hope in the future. Amen? Amen. Where do we get hope? Well, we get it from the God of hope. So a few thoughts, a few things I want to say about being always hopeful and having hope in God. Number one, where do we get hope? Well, we know it's from God. We just read that. But just some things that he uses. Number one, seeing the Lord work through trials. Romans 5. Read these verses this morning. But we get hope through going through trials with God. Romans 5, verse 3. "And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Hope. So it says we get hope through tribulation and then patience produces hope. Expectation, experience, hope. And we get to that process through trials. You ever think of the song, Amazing Grace? 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Then he says, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Twas grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Why does he feel that way? Because he'd experienced how God helped him in tribulation. You know, it's a strange thing. Israel did this so often. God brings them out. He gives them food. He gives them water. He gives them miracles. He parts the Red Sea. And they say, what are we going to do? What are we going to eat and drink? Listen, the same God who brought you through these trials can take care of you today. Before you panic because something new came into your life, because some danger, some disaster, some instability or whatever, remember the last time you were just as scared and God brought you through it. Amen? Our nature is to forget what happened before and how God took care of us in the last tribulation. But tribulation worketh experience, and experience hope. You need to remember and get experience and gain knowledge from the trial. Just going through it doesn't help you. You've got to learn and gain that experience because you realize there's nothing that can happen that God can't get me through. Seeing the Lord work through trials gives you hope for the future. Listen, are you surprised you made it this far? Are you amazed where God's taking you? Are you amazed the trials? Remember when that trial was there before and you thought you'd never make it? You know how many trials you go through in life where you think, this is so terrible and so dark? You know it started when you were 8 years old and lost the ball? And you were 13 years old and you broke up with your first boyfriend or girlfriend? And the world is going to end. Then you're 16 and say, oh, thank you that broke up. And you get experience. And all these things. How many of you would trade problems with your disaster problems that you had when you were 16 right now? You'd say, you know what? I can handle those. I'll trade. Okay? Boy, only a few of you. You must have had some miserable 16-year-old days. How many of you would, you know what? How many of you were overwhelmed with something you would not be overwhelmed with anymore sometime in your life? I've been, man, some of the things that overwhelm me, I'm going, okay, let's not tell anybody about that. After I got through it, I said, yeah, it was no big deal. But in the middle of it, experience gives you hope for the future, the Bible says. Number two, you have hope because of God's mercy. Let me take you to Psalms, then I'll take you to Lamentation. We'll be doing a decent amount in Psalms after this. Then we'll go some into the New Testament also. Hope because of God's mercy. This is so important. Psalm 130 and verse 7. It says this, let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him plenteous redemption. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. Why do we get hope? Because God has mercy. It's real simple. Because if you do not understand the mercy and compassion of God, your failures and your sin will make you think God has given up on you, or God cannot use you anymore, or God's so angry at you, he's not going to bless you anymore. Because you do not understand the mercy of God, you lose hope. You might have relationships on earth where you say, you know what? We are never going to be right again, me and this person. I mean, it is so damaged, it is so messed up. And that can be true on earth, but understand, the Lord's mercy endures forever. And I am so glad that when I mess up, when I fail, when I feel like a total wicked, failing person who has not been what I ought to be and knows better, that I don't just say, you know what, there's no hope for me. I guess God can never use me. Because I have a God who says over and over, his mercy endureth forever. I'm glad God can still forgive. I'm glad there's hope in my future relationship with God. Listen, you'll know when God can't use you anymore because you're dead. I believe when God says, you know what, you're not going to ever be used again, you will not surrender, you won't do anything, I just think, be done. There's no reason. But when you're breathing, if you want to, there's always a great God in heaven whose mercy, the Bible says, endureth forever. Psalm 136, it says it in every single verse, for his mercy endureth forever. I want to read a verse, a passage that's so powerful on this. I just want to go to it also. And Lamentations, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. It's a beautiful verse, and it talks about how hopeful Jeremiah is. I want you to understand, you have to understand Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a man who is called the weeping prophet. Jeremiah says, I cry with rivers. Jeremiah wept so much. Jeremiah, his whole ministry was to a nation who was not going to listen to him. They rejected him, and he preached judgment, and it broke his heart, and he wrote the book called Lamentations, lamenting. In the middle of the sorrow, as he sees Israel and Jerusalem, specifically where he lived, we warned them, God's going to judge you if you don't repent. They wouldn't repent. And the nation came in and just got slaughtered, and Jerusalem got torn to the ground. And he stands there in the middle of the smoldering city with a broken heart. And then he talks about having hope because of God's mercy. Lamentations 3:21. This I recall to mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh unto him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. You see how he says here, three times he has hope, and it's good to have hope and wait for the Lord. Why? Because God's compassions have not failed, though this has happened. I want to say this, though things might not have gone like you wanted them to go, and things have gone wrong, and troubles have come, and trials have come, does not mean God's mercy has failed. You can be right with God anytime. His compassions fail not. If you've accepted Jesus Christ, he's as close to forgiving you and washing away your sins and having mercy on you as you coming to him and for mercy. There's hope because God's mercy endures forever. Next, there is hope because he will still love us. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 context, they're talking about being slaughtered. The Christians under persecution. And he says it so graphically, we are like sheep slaughtered all day long, he says in Romans 8. And then he goes down to verse 35. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life. The first thing is death, by the way, because the persecution they were under. Neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. One of the great things that you can have in life, and I praise God I have, is I have a loving home. Because the world out there isn't always loving. Sometimes this world's pretty harsh. You ever just say, I just want to go home and be with my family? Because the world's so harsh and dark. And listen, that love, that hope of going home to people who love you and people who aren't, you know, out there to get you, hopefully, that's your home. And if not, you have something greater. You have a God who is full of love, and you can always know nothing shall separate us from the love of God. I've had so many strange conversations about these verses. Somebody says, well, yeah, but if you do this, God won't love you anymore. Well, I'm sorry, but God doesn't say that. Well, what if you do this? You don't need to say what if. Okay? Well, what? You don't need to. You don't need to ask. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. It is so good that no matter how much you fail, no matter what happens in life, no matter how crazy life gets, no matter where you end up, you will have not been separated from God's love. Neither death nor life. Well, I guarantee you, you're in one of those states. Nor principalities. The devil can't separate you, or powers, or things present, or things to come. Nothing's going to happen in your future that's going to make it so God does not love you. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, if you realize God is going to love me no matter what, you get some hope. You know, you get pretty hopeless when you feel nobody loves you. Get pretty hopeless when you feel like God doesn't love you. But nothing can separate you from God's love. He will always love us. And nor things present, nor things that come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hope, because God will still love us. Hope, because there is mercy. Hope, through seeing him bring you through trials. Hope, because he'll still be with us. He told Joshua, he read the verse, I will not fail thee, and I'm with you wherever, whithersoever thou goest. The Great Commission, he says, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Hebrews 13:5, be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you get the God of the universe, and he never leaves. Boy, in a world of abandonment, one of the greatest things in the world is to know God's never going to leave you. Listen, I can tell you, if he was going to leave me, he would already had plenty of reasons to do it. Amen? We all have failed God, yet God's mercies endures forever. He knows the beginning to the end. He knew everything we do. And he says, I'm going to stick with you, though you might have nobody else. You have someone who's with you always, even to the end of the world. I will never, by the way, that term never isn't the present tense, and it's constant. It's linear, the verse is. I will never, no, never, no, never, no, never, no, never, no, never. It's just a continual word when he says never there. Is that leave you nor forsake you. He is never going to leave you. Amen. You have hope because God is not going to leave you. Next, hope because he will still be with us. See, he always finishes what he starts. I mean, let me take it as Psalm 46 is so powerful. I love Psalm 46. I've been with some people who've been passing away lately and people who've been at death's doorstep. And I've read Psalm 46 to them. Because their lives have been turned upside down and things have happened drastic. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Why? Because God's a very present help. He's there with us. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the seas, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Says, you know what? We're not going to be shaken because God is with us. And it doesn't matter if the mountains go into the ocean. Doesn't matter if the whole entire foundations of the earth shake. Doesn't matter if all the waters overflow. We will not be shaken because God is with us. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her in that right early. Verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. There's a security. He starts with you and he's going to finish with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And then he says in Philippians chapter 1, he who began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God's going to keep working with you. He's going to keep working with you. He's going to keep... Listen, God has not abandoned you halfway through this thing. He started with you when you accepted him. He's going to be with you till death. He began the good work. He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And so we have hope because God's going to be with us and keep working with us. And let me tell you, sometimes you can get discouraged if you don't have hope of ever having God's help and just struggling the rest of your life. Next, hope. We have hope in the unseen future. Romans 8 talks a lot about this, and I want to read some verses out of there. Hope in an unseen future. The more you live for God, the more you understand hope, the more eternity becomes real and heaven matters. Romans chapter 8 and great verses, verse 20. For the creature, nature, was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by the reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. An unseen future. Jesus said it this way, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. What did Jesus say? He says, hey, do not be worried. Do not let your heart be troubled. Have hope. I am building you a mansion in heaven. We can't see that mansion, but you know what? We have that expectation of seeing it. I can't wait to see my mansion. I'm happy enough with my house now. I think my house is great. But you know what? My house in heaven won't have a mortgage payment. And a tree can't fall on it. And the pipes don't break. The joy of ownership, fixing everything. And you know what? The mansion in heaven, incorruptible, eternal, on streets of gold. If God can make this planet so beautiful and so many things so wonderful on earth and so many beautiful things, how can heaven and how beautiful must our mansions be? The hope of unseen future, the hope of seeing Jesus. Titus 1, 2, and 3, and hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. The hope you know you're going to heaven. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. Isn't it great God promised eternal life? Isn't it great we can have hope because we know what our future is? Hope of a new body in heaven. And thank God for that because these bodies break down. Hope of no more sorrows and no more tears and fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. As the Bible says, we have hope because we know where we're going. Hey, this world might go crazy. The economy may tank. All kinds of things might happen, from terrorism to health problems to all kinds of troubles in life and family and relationships. All kinds of things. This is a messed up, sin-cursed world. But this world's not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And enjoy when this life's good and blessed. Enjoy it and thank God for the great moments. But understand, you have an expectation, an optimism, because no matter what happens in this world, you've got treasures in heaven. And we have that hope. Nothing can take that. Your 401k can become a 001k. Your savings can... the bank can crash. Your health can change with one swerving car. A lot of things can happen in this life. Don't put too much hope in this life being wonderful and great. It has its moments, and praise God for that. But man, we have a hope of paradise and better forever. That's hope that never gets taken away. Let me take you to the book of Titus. I want to read one more, a couple more verses. And Titus... and we'll finish up here. What are our hopes? Where were Titus? Where'd they move it to? And Titus chapter 2 and verse 13. One more hope we have. That's the hope that Jesus is coming back. Not we're hoping he comes back. The expectation he's coming back. And that's called our blessed hope. Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That hope, when you're looking forward to that, when you're looking forward and thinking about Jesus coming, it changes you. 1 John in chapter 3, beautiful verses about the hope of Jesus coming back. And by the way, it'd be a good time about now. This world needs some fixing. Listen, America needs fixing. The conflicts of the world, the mess of all kinds of heartaches and troubles. I've traveled the world and been to many countries and see many things, and I say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. It's a hurting world. This is a world that man's had a long time to try to figure out and fix. And there is always an expectation that one of these days, man's going to figure out how to fix the world. They keep on thinking that. And try. Great. Try to fix the world. Try to have peace. Try to do everything you can. But in the history of the, in written history of the world, all the history we've had 39 years of known peace in the world. And this world is full of conflict. And it's local, and it's global, and it's family, and it's just, we're at a fall. It's so interesting. My family and I were watching something on creation evolution, and they were just talking about DNA, and it's so hilarious. The DNA breaks down constantly, okay? You getting old is your DNA breaking down, and how DNA, all the process of DNA is breaking down. And diseases come along because DNA gets less complex. It's literally anti-evolution. Evolution says because mutation becomes more complex, it's breaking down constantly. The DNA is always, like everything in the universe, everything is deteriorating in the universe, okay? That's the natural course of everything. Listen, just when they figure out how to kill a bug, they make a more resistant bug that does something else. There's not going to be utopia on Earth. And it doesn't mean you shouldn't try to fix diseases. Doesn't mean you should try to end wars. Doesn't mean you should try to live peaceably and feed people. And we do those things and all that stuff. I want to say, the world's going to need Jesus to come back to fix it. That's the only thing that's going to fix it. When he comes, there's going to be wars and rumors of wars and famines and pestilences. It just says that. And that's the way the world is going to be. But the hope of eternal life, the hope of Jesus coming back. 1 John chapter 3, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And it says when he shall appear, we know what's going to happen. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Glory to God, Jesus is coming back. Someday he's going to fix the world. Someday he's going to end all sorrow and pain and troubles of human government and make this a world where the lion lays down with the lamb, and he's going to fix the world. And he's, and all the processes and troubles and moving plates, tectonic plates, and everything else. He's going to fix it all. Listen, it's a wonderful thing. And by the way, when he comes, we shall be like him. We see Jesus. We're taken up into heaven. We meet him in the sky. We get a new body, and we lose our fallen natures, and we no longer disappoint God. And we have that hope that no matter how bad the world gets, Jesus is still coming. And we have hope. We have that looking forward to. We get to be excited about Jesus coming back. And if you have that expectation that Jesus is coming, you get purified, the Bible says. You're ready for him to come. And you purify yourself even as he is pure. Hope is the expectation and desire of a future good. If you'll take your hope off of how much you're going to make and how good everything's going to go and in this world and enjoy those things and praise God for them, but put your hope on things eternal. And have hope in God because he's merciful and he's never going to leave you and he's going to be loving. He's going to love you no matter what. This expectation that you always have a Father in heaven who cares about you no matter what happens on this earth. This optimism in God and in eternal things keeps you strong, keeps you hopeful, keeps you excited, keeps you optimistic, though you have no idea what's happening in 5 minutes. I'll be in Haiti in July for the fifth time. I'll see utter poverty. I'll see tragedy and all kinds of things all around. And when I see that, We'll tell people about Jesus. We'll feed people and do all the things and try to help them all we can. But you know what? The best thing I can do for those people, with all the things that we'll do, for the orphans, for the schools, for the deaf, for the pastors, for all the people, the greatest thing that our church will do while we're there is we'll tell people about Jesus Christ and how to be saved and give them hope. The blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. So the Beatitudes are giving you hope. You know what? You have hope. Now, understand, there's some things in this world that are great. I joke with my daughters. I say, guess what? On your wedding day, Jesus is coming back. No! You know what? I understand there's good things in this world. You don't need to be miserable. And I think Christians should be way happier. My joy no man takes from you, the Bible says. Some disaster can happen in the world tomorrow. Hey, my joy is just the same. I still got Jesus Christ. He still loves me. I'm still going to heaven. Those things don't change. But these things in the world are okay, are good, are wonderful. And I love life. But listen, hope in eternal things is a lot better because these things don't always last. These things don't always last. And God loves you. And he's not going to come back on your wedding day. But God loves you. And he's going to love you unconditionally. And he's going to be merciful to you. And you don't have to worry about a God ever giving up on you. Though sometimes you ought to be given up on if you like. But we have that hope in God. Hope thou in God. Psalms 42 says, for I shall yet praise him. Don't be Eeyore. It's going to go bad. Everything's going to go wrong. Stop. Be a person of hope. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for filling us with hope through so many things that matter and that aren't going to change. We're so glad, Father, that you give us these eternal things. We're blessed. We're people in a wealthy, blessed nation for now. But Lord, you've got eternal things to look forward to and a great God who's going to love us and hold on to us. You're so good. You're loving. You're merciful. You promise you'll never leave us nor forsake us. You promise eternal life through Jesus Christ. Lord, we have many things and you're coming back. You're going to help us make it through whatever trials we get through. May we live with that hope. Because you said we're saved by hope, and hope changes us, and hope makes us greater, and hope keeps us strong, and hope keeps our heart right. May we have that hope. And Lord, the devil is always trying to steal hope from us. May we realize that really he has no ability because the things that our hope are in, that our hope is in, is nothing the devil can take. So please, Lord, help us to have that hope. In Jesus Christ and in you, the God of all hope, in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.